Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go! Let's go! Because of all the rain yesterday. So I'm actually... Yeah, you think, what the hell? I remember last night we were talking. We were in the middle of talking, and I was like, you know, we're going to do X, Y, Z, and we were comparing notes. We were talking about our flats that we bought off the marketplace. And you notice I went offline, because right about that time is when I was listening to Beyonce, and I was listening to this very song, the real version, and looked up, and there's like a big bubble of water sitting right over me. And I was like, oh, hell no. So right now I am in my living room where I have Baby Natrix sitting across from me, but she can't hear me because she's knee-deep in something on the internet. But what I'm laughing at is Kit Natrix, because I moved something and she jumped like, oh, wait, what is that? What's going on? Why is this thing moving? It wasn't moving before.
Oh, my God.
It's a little shelf or something I have on the floor. So this is like... weird sitting over here doing the show, especially from my desktop. It's not a laptop I'm holding. I have a desktop. It's actually kind of cool, though. I have my monitor on the coffee table, and it's, like, right in front of me. Like, I can see everything, like, so clear.
Ooh. It's never not.
It is quite nice. Anyway, juice. Oh, God. First, I want to say hello to the person on Twitter, and I'm going to get your name here in a second. I saw a post yesterday from the ESA, and this news actually came out last week. Was that June 11th? Was last week?
Yeah, I think so.
Last week, the ESA posted up a study saying that half of all gamers now, or almost half of all gamers, is women. And he felt it necessary to contact me and said, what exactly is half? So I sent him to that article. If you get a chance, Dance Grenade. I love your Twitter name, by the way, but never, ever, ever doubt. Never doubt the GGR. We never put up stuff without checking facts first, or at least being ready to make you believe we check facts. Anyway, So you go over to the ESA, you check it out. We make up quite a few gamers now. We also, they're saying we buy most of the games, we buy most of the consoles. We do outnumber 17-year-old boys.
Yes,
gamers.
We do.
Mm-hmm. So y'all be scared. Watch your back.
17-year-old boy.
Watch your back. What did you say? You want you some 17-year-old boys? What did you say?
Oh, hell no. 17-year-old boys don't even know what to do with it.
Oh.
No. I said we pwn. Oh, 17-year-old boys.
We pwn. I had to be clear. I was like, wait a minute. That's
we kicked their asses in games.
Yeah, we can't do. You're right. They don't know. 17-year-old girls will attest to that. Anyway.
Yeah. They're the ones that still need the maps. You know, the hand-drawn maps. This is where this is. And yeah.
We got a bunch of 17-year-old boys that are either very angry and about to call in later, or they just changed to another show. You guys will be all right.
Yeah.
Y'all going to make
it. It's all right.
Well, okay.
When y'all grow up, you will understand. And hopefully by then, not all of you will need, you know, roadmaps. Some of you still do.
All right. So there is tons of juice going on.
Corey's like, stop alienating our people.
Oh, well, you know I do not care. They go. You can go. It's okay. It's always somebody else ready to step in. So this Xbox news.
Oh, my God. We knew it was going to have to happen.
It had
we knew
to.
As much hate as they were going to get. And they were like, oh, we can't do it. We built the whole system around this. We can't change it back. This is the new thing. This is tomorrow's gaming rig. No, we can't change it. We flipped the switch. We changed it. Our bad. Come back to us. Don't leave us. Oh, my God.
I would say I was shocked. I knew it was going to happen. It had to happen. As Ginger said, it had. That girl is crunching in our ear. Do y'all hear that? Okay, so.
This girl's still hungry.
It's all right. You got to eat your breakfast. I had some lovely brown sugar and cinnamon oatmeal. That's how I keep my skin color so lovely. Brown sugar.
We were out.
That's why they call me brown sugar. Did you know? Anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why they call you brown sugar. Mm-hmm. I've seen those curves. I know why they're calling you brown sugar, man.
All right, so you know Microsoft has been publicly
flogged,
beat up for the past few weeks over the online authentication restrictions.
How dare you betray us gamers?
And finally they got the message, so they're changing the controversial policies for the next-gen system in a blog post that they posted up yesterday. The president, Mr. Don Matrick, whom we do not like. Don, I'm just going to come out and say I don't like you. I've never met you, and I usually don't say that about people I've never met. I just don't like your demeanor, your smug attitude, the snideness with which I've seen
you
interviews.
He was the one who was like, I don't know about people who are on submarines or whatever, wasn't he?
Yeah, and going on about people who are thinking, you know, they're just not going to have internet. Some people don't, so we need you to be in touch with the people. You sound like Ms. Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake kind of thing.
Other day, I had no internet for most of the day. I would have loved
to have his phone number.
If I had Xbox One.
I would love to have had his phone number so I can call him. By the way, Don, hello. Yeah, hi.
Yeah, I turned on my PS3 and was like, well afterwards, because, I mean, my internet came back up after my electricity did. So, yeah, I turned on my PS3 for a bit, and it was one of those, and I didn't end up playing because my internet came up right about then, but.
Listen, you know what's funny is that you did that anyway, and you don't even have the Xbox One. You just immediately thought, yeah, I can't play my Xbox. I'm just going to go play my PlayStation. See, you've already branded it wrong, Xbox, because I thought the same thing.
Even with my Xbox One that I have, you know, I can't play online with friends, da-da-da-da-da. You get all these issues, and it's just.
Oh, yeah, you were having issues. That's why you dropped your subscription, because we stopped being able to play Left 4 Dead. I remember now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. So, anyway. The blog basically says, or what he posted was, we appreciate your passion, support, and willingness to challenge the assumptions of digital licensing and connectivity. While we believe that the majority of people will play games online and access the cloud for both games and entertainment, we will give consumers the choice of both physical and digital content. We have listened and we have heard loud and clear from your feedback that you want the best of both worlds. To that end, they are dropping the Xbox One system check-in, which with Microsoft servers every 24 hours or be unable to play games. The system will still need to connect online for initial setup, which is fine. But after that, it can be used entirely offline. Additionally, rights to games will work as soon as they do on the Xbox today. Same as they do on the Xbox 360 today, so no DRM. You'll be able to lend games to your friends, sell them, buy them used, or rent them without restrictions. And he says it'll work just as it does now. On top of that, they said they will have no regional restrictions, so they will allow you to play games from any country on hardware from any country, other country. However, with these changes, they're eliminating some functionality that they said will be possible with Xbox One. For example, downloaded titles will not be able to be shared with other players, and disc-based games will require the disc to be in the system tray in order to run. And if you had made a removable hard drive, then we wouldn't even have that problem. I don't know why they got rid of that. Did they get rid of the removable hard drive?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
My guess is this is why they got rid of the removable hard drive. I'm just going to tell y'all a trick we used to do, and I'm only going to tell you because the Xbox One is getting ready to come out, and this one is going to be obsolete. You know how they used to have the downloadable maps for Halo?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell y'all, I'm not going to name any names. You all know who you are out there. There was a whole gang of us. One of us would pay to download, and then we'd all split the cost, and we'd take the hard drive out, put it in the next Xbox. Download them.
Woo-woo!
Take it out, put it in the next Xbox. And by that end, everybody had maps. And I'm sorry, developers, we don't mean to do that, but sometimes you have all those Halo maps, you keep putting them out, and it gets expensive. A system's got to buy lip gloss.
True effing story, man.
Got to buy lip gloss and shoes and games. You know, you got to be pretty and
girl, I was looking at some shoe porn last night.
Oh, man. Let's not even
go. I was like, I'm learning how to make mesh. Can I make those? Yeah. Anyways, okay.
I thought that's flat Yeah, I got some. Love.
All right.
Mm. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I've been using those because you can change them. Yeah, they're nice. All right, so, Texas does good for once. Texas law kills warrantless searches of email.
Nice.
Yeah, while the rest of the country is still reeling from the NSA news. Oh, my God, and I watched that the other day while I was at the doctor's office. 4 hours worth of me watching that and wanting to shoot people that were on the screen. Oh, my God. Anyways, okay, so while the rest of the country worries about what the NSA is doing with our data on the Internet, the, I would say, great state of Texas, but I'm still kind of meh about Texas, is securing the privacy of its citizens' emails. On Friday, Texas Governor Rick Perry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to gag right then.
Yeah. He actually signed into law a privacy bill that will guard Texans from warrantless searches by state law enforcement officials. House Bill 2268, in effect, requires that state investigators obtain a warrant to access emails, no matter how old the communication might be. You know, he's only doing this because he doesn't want his own email searched.
Right.
Otherwise, he wouldn't sign this. The bill passed in both houses of the Texas legislature with absolutely no opposition before arriving on the governor's desk last month. Governor Perry signed the bill into law Friday, just 2 days before the deadline to approve or veto it. It expired. This law, authored by State Representative John Frullo, now makes Texas the first state in the country to pass such a pro-privacy law concerning both opened and unopened emails. Frullo,
we were first?
I know, right? That's new.
It's something geeky we were first?
I know! He says, Frullo says that the legislation allows Texas to join other states in making sure law enforcement agencies are able to obtain critical evidence when criminals are using the Internet to commit crimes. What? That doesn't make sense. All right, so anyways, hey, yay for privacy. I'm going to do some more research on this because Frullo doesn't make sense to me. You know, this whole NSA thing, oh my God. We stopped bombings from some bridge, and now court documents are coming out. No, you didn't. Shut up. Stop lying. It's scary. Our government is scaring me, and I hate to say that. I hate to say that. And Corey is muted or something, so I'm going to...
I'm here. I just got an email saying that Nathan Fillion shared photos of me. I was like, Nathan B? Nathan Fillion? And then I look. Of course, it's... And I signed up for WhoSay a long time ago. WhoSay is like Facebook and Twitter for celebrities. You cannot be on it. You can't just go and post up on it. Anyway, so I wanted to see what he posted because he takes pretty pictures. And then I ran across one from Matthew McConaughey, speaking of Texans and whatnot. All right.
He is so hot.
I do want to say thank you to Google for trying to protect all of us.
They tried to fight it. They didn't win, but they tried to fight it.
They're still fighting, looks like. All right, so anyway, but they're not doing so well in France. Google, got to treat our French right. They gave us fries. Not really, but hey. Okay, so...
Not really.
But we named them in their honor. They did give us a lovely Statue of Liberty. France is wanting Google to change their unified privacy policy that they introduced last year. The National Commission for Computing and Civil Liberties, France's watchdog body, is giving Google 3 months to get it done. It says it violates France's data protection privacy laws, and if Google doesn't comply, it could face a fine as high as $595,000. I don't know what that is in francs, but it's going to be bad. Okay, so, well, that doesn't mean anything to Google. That's like nothing. That's like pocket change for them. But under the new privacy policy, according to VentureBee, Google takes user data from services like YouTube, Google Plus, and Gmail, and combines them under one big set of rules. While Google has repeatedly argued that the policy is easy to understand and makes its products better for users, the argument hasn't been enough for European regulators who are eager to wield influence over big international tech companies like Google. So as far as those particular demands go, the CNIL wants Google to define both what exactly it does with user data and how long it holds on to them. We'd like to know that over here, too, for that matter. France's continued pressure on Google comes as the company is still dealing with the public relations fallout over its alleged... Did I just scroll? Really? really, Corey, did you just scroll? Alleged involvement with Prism.
Alleged.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Prism. Again, this is not on our side of the pond, so I'm not sure what's going on there. There's a whole lot of paranoia, they say, going on behind that. Both situations apparently are similar, but Google argues it's playing by the book and has nothing to hide. Regulators and paranoid users are looking for conclusive evidence of Google's claims.
Wait, are they saying Google's been spying on us?
They've been spying on them in France. We don't know about over here. They look like they've been defending us over here, but, you know, things may come out.
Man, I don't trust nobody with that right now.
Yeah, apparently that's what Prism is. And checking out, there's surveillance. Government surveillance is what Prism is going on with Google in France. Who wants to watch the French unless they're wearing pretty shoes? I'm just saying. You know what? I love France. I love French. I love to hear French French people speak French, but I hate to hear them speak English. Just don't. Please don't. Don't speak English. I hate it.
All right. So. Wow.
Oh, wait.
What?
Wait, I got to share this because this is going to affect us all. I'm sorry, Ginger, I got to jump in here. This is a quick. LinkedIn was hijacked. The DNS was hijacked. The traffic was rerouted to a shady India-based site called confluence-networks.com. So if you went to log in and you were like, what the hell, that's why. According to Berg, the site does not require SSL, a secure socket layer for you geeks, which means that anybody who visited the site in the last hour last night anyway, your short-lived cookie session is visible in plain text, which means they got your password. DNS hijacking is...
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So if you don't know what DNS hijacking is, it's a process of redirecting a domain name to a different IP address. IP addresses are strings of numbers that identify a server, but they're long and hard to remember. So the DNS system allows us to use simple, easier-to-remember names like LinkedIn.com, and then it translates them to IPs like 216.52.2.2.86. Okay? And you can type that into your browser, and it'll go to a website, too. Okay, so you can hijack a company's DNS on the client side by hijacking individual computers' network configurations on the internet side. And that's all I'm going to tell you that's it. That's all you need to know. LinkedIn does show it had a service interruption. And that's on their downtime. I'm going to check real quick and jeopardize my own LinkedIn just because I love y'all so much. I forgot how to spell LinkedIn and I'm looking at it. How about that?
Yay!
Yeah, I'm going to jeopardize my own thing. Okay, seems to be okay now, but you guys may want to pop in there and change your passwords really quickly because they saw all your goodies, cakes, and pies a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that is scary. And this, again, people, is why you don't use the same password for every account you have.
Nope, and you want to make sure, if you cannot remember to change your passwords, that you at least do something like set an alarm on your phone. And so that, and it tells you, you can do that every 3 months, have it go off every 3 months, tell you to change your password.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so, wow. Where are we going to go? This is the one we're going to go with next. Connect! All right, so, I kind of figured this was going to happen, and I wonder if this is a part of the reason why they're changing what they're doing. We'll see. Connect may run afoul. I've proposed the We're Watching You Act. The newly designed Kinect for Xbox One may run afoul of a bill called the We Are Watching You Act. That's if it becomes law. The law is being sponsored by Congressman Michael Capuano. Yeah, and Congressman Walter Jones. See, I like it when you congressmen guys have nice, neat names I can pronounce. Jones. See how easy that is? Just saying. All right, so it requires companies to explicitly ask consumers for permission to store their data. The device would also have to inform the user how the data is collected and who will see it after it is collected. If the user declines to allow the device to record and share data, the company would have to offer a new service that is the same as the existing one, save for its ability to record. For Kinect, this would force Microsoft to add a whole new level of disclosure, which I love. Capuano says, this may sound preposterous, but it's neither a joke nor an exaggeration. These DVRs could essentially observe consumers as they watch television as a way to super-target ads. It's an incredible invasion of privacy. Thank you! Oh my god, I've only been saying that for like forever, and I still get the one guy on Facebook, it's not that bad. Shut up, ignorant dude. Given what we have recently learned about the websites we visit, given what we have recently learned about the access that the government has to phone numbers we call, the emails we send, and the websites we visit, it is important for consumers to decide for themselves whether they want this technology. Think about what you do in the privacy of your own home, and then think about how you feel sharing that information with your cable company, their advertisers, and your government. No. We have no kids in this house, so the things that go on here, yeah, no. You can read the entire text of the bill over at house.gov/Capuano/news, check it out. It sounds like the bill is going to most likely impact just about every imaginable internet service out there. As the story develops, if it develops, God, I hope it develops, I will bring it to you so you can hear more. Honestly, I think this is amazing. Because, like I said, I sat there and had watched 4 hours worth of that NSA news the other day, and doing just research on the internet, the amount of information that they have been able to gather about all of us is frightening. Frightening. Totally. We're just trying to protect you. I'm sorry. I can protect myself. Thank you. Oh, man. And you know, and I heard somebody else say it, I'm totally stealing this line. The NSA, you know, if they have Facebook and our phone service, all that, they have the largest collection of child porn ever. Just saying. And Corey.
Very true. What? I'm here.
Yay.
Abby's here. I accidentally connected somebody on LinkedIn I was not trying to connect to, so I'm trying to figure out how to unconnect them.
I got someone who keeps trying to connect to me on LinkedIn, and I'm like, nope, you can keep asking. I'm going to keep saying nope.
Oh, this is a bad one. All right. This is a bad one. I should not have done that. Okay, moving right along to other news. All right, so there's Microsoft. You hear noise? What do you hear?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Okay, so apparently Microsoft is preparing now not only to back down from that stuff, they're thinking they're going to lower the price already. They haven't even released it yet. Yeah. Surprise.
How does that feel to have your tail between your legs, Microsoft?
You should have came out that way. All right. So, well, they not actually said it, but analysts are always dead on. Michael Pachter, who's an analyst at Wedbush, it says he's very optimistic for the chances now, since it's going up against Sony and they've, you know, gotten rid of a few things. But he doesn't rule out a price cut next year. So he says if Sony gets out to a sizable lead.
Are they saying how much?
With a $399. Well, he's getting around to it. He says if Sony sets out a sizable lead with a $399 price tag, the focus will shift from Microsoft's onerous policies to the price differential between Xbox One at $499 and PlayStation 4 at $399. The differential is due to the inclusion of Kinect, a high-def camera with a microphone array. Yay! With every Xbox One, Microsoft tends to offer a more robust hardware bundle than Sony will offer, and Microsoft is convinced that consumers will ultimately appreciate the value of proposition presented by Kinect. Now, Microsoft has not done a very good job of communicating the value of the proposition to its customers, but the announcement that they made earlier today, or I don't know what that announcement is, well, most likely their blog, will remove an impediment to the company's ability to get the message across. Michael is saying we're confident that with 6 months of focused messaging, Microsoft can fully level the playing field with Sony, and we expect the Xbox One to sell as many units as PS4. If we're wrong, we think that Microsoft is prepared to lower the price next year, and that's what they're going to have to do before I get one, because they've still got you with $100. Okay?
I still don't want it. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm still not. I think y'all then soured us really bad. As long as the current gen cycle has lasted, Pachter says he thinks the next one should last about 10 years. And one of the biggest winners in the Microsoft reveal will be retailer GameStop. Here's what I'm going to urge a lot of you to do out there. Those of you who say you love games to death, GameStops are not franchise, but play-in trades are. And they are looking for people to open stores. If you think you can run one, I say jump in here and get a piece of this. You can be taking trade-ins, too. and it's franchised, so you get to kind of run it the way you want to. You can have tournaments there every Saturday or with juice. I don't know. Anyway, while Microsoft, of course, still intends to offer digital downloads of new games on the same day they are released on DVD, the removal of restrictions on transfer games makes it far more likely that the large number of consumers who value used games as currency will continue to buy them in physical form. I know I will be. Ultimately, he says, we think that no more than 50% of game sales will be in digital format, suggesting that GameStop's used games business could be healthy for many, many years to come. In an email to GI International, Pachter did clarify his 50% estimate. He's approximating that no more than 50% of AAA title sales just on Xbox One will be generated from digital. He said this does not count DLC for indie games or indie games. So measuring what is currently sold in package form, I think there will be a migration of 50% to digital in the next 5 to 10 years for Xbox One. It's harder call on the PS4. It is not as online-friendly yet.
Yeah.
Yet. They're getting there, though. And he said yet, too.
Yeah, okay. So, what all? What all we got going on here? Corey's talked about some of this. I'm going to go over this that I've got here. Microsoft dumps some, but not all, of their bad Xbox One policies. Yeah. All right. So Microsoft is waking up and realizing that they are about to get boned by that Xbox bone. So they're changing online requirements and its used game policies. Microsoft announced today, actually I guess yesterday now, that they are abandoning their stance on always online and used game policies to be more like they were on Xbox 360, or AKA like the PS4 is going to be. In a blog post explaining what changes are coming, president of Microsoft's interactive entertainment business, Don Matrick, who we all love to hate, opened up his mouth again. He says, we appreciate your passion, support, and willingness to challenge the assumptions of digital licensing and connectivity. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. You should have said something else there. Like, we're so sorry. We are so sorry for what we tried to do to you. And we're so sorry that you had to stand up for yourselves as gamers and say, oh, hell no. We're sorry that we were presumptuous enough to want to do this and think you're going to be okay with it. Anyways, he says, while we believe that the majority of people will play games online and access the cloud for both games and entertainment, we will give consumers the choice of both physical and digital content. We have listened, and we have heard loud and clear from your feedback that what you want is the best of both worlds. In other words, you heard, we're all going to PS4 FU. To that end, Microsoft is dropping the requirement that Xbox One systems check in with Microsoft servers every 24 hours or be unable to play games. The system will still need to connect online for the initial setup, which, you know, Corey said a little bit ago. Additionally, rights to games will work the same as they do on the Xbox 360 today. Players will be able to lend games to friends, sell them, buy them used, or rent them without restrictions. It'll work just as it does today on the Xbox 360. That's big back down right there. Finally, Microsoft said that the Xbox One will not be region locked, allowing players from any country to play Stranger.
I just did this whole story.
Did you do this whole story?
Yes.
I didn't think you did this whole story. My bad. All right. So, I knew you'd gone over some of it. I didn't think you'd done all of it. Okay. Anyways, moving on. Oculus. So bad. I'm going to get it because, yeah, when my Omni comes in, I'm getting an Oculus. Yes. Oculus VR raises $16 million for virtual reality hardware. Oculus VR has secured $16 million in its first round of funding as the company moves towards bringing its virtual reality hardware technology to the masses. A funding round was led by Spark Capital and Matrix Partners. Oculus VR began its quest for capital seeking $5.5 million, but managed to generate a lot more due to lots and lots of exposure. People, when you write press releases, make sure you don't leave out words. Oculus VR still hasn't set a launch date for the retail release of its product, but began shipping Kickstarter-funded development kits in late March. During E3, several companies announced support for the device, as well as popular software offerings that would support it at launch. Yes, yes, yes. Ginger put in the money to get the Omni. So when that comes in January, I'm going to give me an Oculus. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I'm going to be gaming on my Omni with my Oculus. Oh, it's going to be, yeah, seriously.
Can you remember to not, like, die and stuff?
It traps you in.
I know you're going to be running across, you know, World of Warcraft, because then that would make it fun if I could play it that way.
I'm already thinking about, like, playing... Oh, my brain is dead. Help me out. Post-apocalyptic.
Fallen Earth.
Fallen Earth, thank you. Oh, my God.
I had
so
to
sorry,
pull it out of your head. That hurt.
I love you guys. You don't understand. It's all medicated right now, so my brain is just one whole big lump of goo. But, yeah, playing that, playing Second Life, playing APB. Oh, my God.
Speaking of APB, they got some goodies they put out yesterday. Did you see?
I did not. Are they going to give me any goodies?
Okay, it would be nice if I could find the goodies. I hate when they send stuff and then it's all crazy. I can't find it.
Hello, Horace.
Hello there,
Horace. Hello, Horace. We missed you, Horace.
Did you miss us? Then you better say yes if you know what's good for you.
I miss everybody.
Okay, I don't know what happened to the APB. They had something called the Angel something update that I cannot find at present, so you have to live without that one. But I will tell you, lovely people, who love to play yourself some Aeon. They just did an update.
I like some Aeon.
I know you like you some Aeon. Right around.
I go back and forth with Aeon, man.
By the way, I got something.
And I get into those end dungeons again, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember why I hated
it. I got something for you, by the way.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you're going to like it, but it's for you. You get it.
Yay!
Okay, and I would love to tell you about Aeon, but... I love how they sent me and tell me, thank you, Corey. And then the rest of the press release is in German. All right. So there's an update 4.0 is all I can tell you based on the intro. Why do they do this? Do I look German? Okay. Don't answer that question. Do I speak German? That's more importantly. Do I speak German?
You might.
Oh, my God. Okay. I have bad news to share. James Gandolfini just died.
Who?
From Sopranos, the star of Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
To his family.
Last night or earlier this morning.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss there, people there. That's horrible. He's so young. 51 is still young.
And it was sad. He was on a guy's weekend away, and his 13-year-old son or 15-year-old son found him dead.
Oh. It wasn't from anything bad, I don't know. I mean, well, nothing. You know what I mean when I say bad.
No. He just had a heart attack, and those things happen, you know? Scary.
That's sad. All right, so I kind of skated over two or three stories there. That's not really a story. Warner Brothers Interactive, Ginger, stay out of the high register, is announcing that LEGO Legends of China, Laval's Journey, will be... will be available for the Nintendo 3DS and PlayStation Vita handheld systems in Europe on the 21st and here in America on June 25th and Australia June 26th. A Nintendo DS version will follow this fall, which is nice of you guys to do because me and Baby Natrix are actually gathering up our Nintendo stuff to trade in to get 3DSs.
Yay.
Yeah, well, you know, they got rid of the Nintendo store, so we were like, yeah, they got rid of the Nintendo channels and things, so we were like, there's really no point in keeping it, even as a...
That's true.
Yeah, not even as a, hey, let's hang on to our console. We just really couldn't find any reason to. And most times I'll keep consoles, but I'm like, I want to keep it, you know, because it's not I'm not on my third Wii or anything, but it's the first Wii out of the box, first out of store, first round. No problems with it. Love it.
Seriously, I've had my Wii since the day I bought it, and it's never given me a hiccup.
Never a problem. Not ever. I think I had one.
Take that back. I did have one hiccup about a year ago. We had an electrical surge, and I thought it fried. But all we had to do was switch the power cord to a different socket in the house, and it tripped whatever the hell was going on, and ta-da!
I had one problem with an update. Same thing, had electrical storm during an update, and it went out, and then it wouldn't update for a while, and then they had me do something, press up, up, down, left, right, and trigger, and then hold the nunchuck and swing it over your head, and then, so I did that, and then...
But see, those things are always fixable yourself. They're always willing to help you. Microsoft, just send it in. No, I'm not paying you to fix something simple. Just tell me what to do. I can do it myself.
I never did pay because we would have a fight when I call them. They'd be like, well, I think my warranty's just fine. That's what I think. I think you're going to give me my code and you're going to email me my things I put in the box.
That sounds like a lot of the argument that I always have with Time Warner when I call them because my modem's not connecting. Well, you need a new modem. Your modem's just old. You just gave me a new modem 3 months ago. It's not the flipping modem.
Oh, wait. So I got to look. We're all in the middle of a story. Okay, so Legends of Chima. I said China. It's Chima. We'll have you embark upon an adventure with Laval, the brave warrior, and who's the headstrong prince of the Lion Tribe. He's determined to fight for justice. On his epic journey, he races to unlock the secret of the legendary Triple Chi armor before his arch-rival Crocodile King, Cragger, and can manipulate his awesome power to threaten the balance of Chima. You can leap, swing, fight through 15 levels of action and gameplay through the vast lands of Chima, and I am saying Chima with an M, and I'm saying it on purpose. That is what it's called. Unlocking more than 50 characters. You can collect and use a variety of tools, reaching secret parts of the game to access hidden collectibles. And you also earn points in the game that can be redeemed through the Chima Vault found online, which houses an exclusive reward system. This gives you access to items you can use to enhance your experience in the game. So this is kind of a new thing for them, a real true-to-life RPG. This is made for ages 10, E10 plus. And I would like to say also, I would like to cut Trixie. I'm going to cut you. she got a 3DS. That's why we want one. She's playing Animal Crossing New Leaf, and she's all posting up on Facebook talking about awesome, awesome, awesome. And now I want it, and baby AJ wants it.
I want that. Is it only for the Wii U?
For 3DS.
Is it only for the 3DS?
They probably do have a Wii U version, or it'll be coming out. And knowing them, it'll actually work. You know, cross. Compatible, because I think the cool thing about the Wii, a lot of people that don't own Wiis didn't know, is if you had Animal Crossing for the GameCube, you could take your character from the GameCube and move him to the Wii. You could take it from your Wii over to your friend's house and bring your character and, you know, put your little card in and play with him there. You could also put that same character on your Nintendo DS. You could just move your character all over the place. If you wanted to, you just take them out and move them around, move them into the town for a while, and then you take them home. You leave and you go home. Or, of course, a lot of people don't know this too. You had two 3DS, and I have Danger to thank for scaring the hell out of me with this one. I'll tell you that one in a minute. Like if you and I were playing, I could come onto your 3DS and visit your town, which is what Trixie was talking about, which she knows feature I love. She was stomping her brother's flowers in his town and stealing stuff and having a good time, and then you go home. Danger used to scare me with that whenever we fly to PAX, because she, every time they tell us to turn off our things, she would always say, oh my God, what would happen if we left these on and the pilot was trying to fly the plane and all he could see was Animal Crossing on his screen? And I'd be like, shut up, you know I'm scared to fly, shut up.
Yeah,
so fun. I want a 3DS badly, and I want this one, and I think all of these are on 3DS. Lego Star Wars, Batman, Indiana Jones.
I may have to give me a 3DS, but because, yeah, sitting there for 4 hours watching the NSA, because that's all that was around.
You will
My internet connection kept coming in and out.
It has internet, too, the 3DS. And if it's as good as the DS, you won't have any issues out of it. I don't think I ever had any issues with the little card they gave you to plug in the internet. Never had any issues.
Because my little joypad was like, hold me up and turn me just a little bit this way. All right, I've got connection. Don't move.
Ginger is offline. Ginger is online. Ginger is offline. Ginger is online.
Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous.
Ginger's offline. Ginger's online. Then somebody messaged me from the store like, I'm trying to talk to Ginger. She keeps signing off. I said, she's not home. Stop it.
Somebody did? Oh, my bad. My bad.
Well, you weren't home. But, you know, leave a note card. That's what you're supposed to do. That's people.
They left me no note card.
Well, then they didn't want nothing.
All right. All right. So, yay! Pirate's Life indeed! A puzzle on the high seas and the most expansive game available now on iPad. And I used to play this game years ago. And now I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe I want to go back and play it. I haven't played it in a while. Sega Europe and Sega of America are happy, so pleased to announce today the fan favorite Puzzle Pirates, which you probably never heard of, but you should have, is now available on iPad and will be sailing into additional tablet devices in summer of 2013. The original creators of Puzzle Pirates, Sega Studio 3 Rings, have brought the open-ended, massively multiplayer game to mobile. Puzzle Pirates is one of the first and longest-running free-to-play games available on PC. Millions of gamers have enjoyed puzzling together, sailing ships, collecting loot, and brawling in taverns since 2003. I like this game. I haven't played it forever. I forget how much I like this game. Anyways, players can become a captain, own a shop, or govern an island as they compete and cooperate in a rich and complex player-driven world, relying on their wits and skill to climb from Bildrat to Pirate King. And that's right, folks, you can own your own ship. Big ship.
I need you to be careful with that word. Very careful.
Ship. Big, dirty one. Puzzle Pirates boasts one of the deepest MMO gameplay experiences available on mobile. While out adventuring, players can face attack from roaming brigands, hunt for treasure and sea monsters, or even make plans to conquer their very own island by coordinating, I can say that word, with hundreds of crewmates. Puzzle Pirates provides entertainment for players of all ages, from simple puzzling fun all the way to the complexities of enormous ship-to-ship battles.
Very careful now. Careful now.
Yay! Puzzle Pirates is, of course, like I said, available for free. So it's on the App Store for free, but you can also find it on your PC. Well, maybe you can't find it on your PC yet, but Google it! Puzzle Pirates, it's free to play. It plays in your browser, I want to say, and always has. So all these new people who are like, oh, we play in the browser. Yeah, these guys have been doing it for forever.
Yes, quite a few games have been played only in the browser. All right, I got to do this.
Girl, we run this mother.
One. Who run the world? Miss Esther Wu of Brooklyn. She's been named the winner of the 2013 Girls Scholarship, Great Gamers in Real Life. Congratulations to Esther! Glad to make us proud. The Girls Scholarship is in its sixth year. The scholarship program was established to encourage women to pursue careers in the video game industry in the areas of development and design. Wu is a student at Savannah College of Art and Design in Savannah, Georgia, and she was awarded a $10,000 scholarship to use for her college tuition and other educational expenses, like shoes. In addition, she will spend 10 weeks on a paid internship at Sony's headquarters there in San Diego. Following graduation, she aspires to work as a concept artist in AAA video games, and she says it's exhilarating to be selected for this amazing. Yeah, I like that she said exhilarating, because you know we usually get, I'm excited. She says exhilarating to be selected for this amazing opportunity to work alongside some of the industry's best game artists at SOE in California. I think this competition is important because it represents a stepping stone for artists and helps build awareness about gender in the work environment. As part of the competition, finalists were asked to submit two pieces of original concept art inspired by either PlanetSide or EverQuest 2, and an essay discussing their views on women in the gaming industry. The submission was reviewed by a panel of judges from Sony Online Entertainment. Wu's winning art entry was inspired by the vehicles and characters in PlanetSide 2, which we will end up posting on our website so you can see her artwork. It is flipping amazing. This girl's got skills, dude. Her goal with the piece was to transform the general design and add a new perspective. She says, as a public conversation on gender issue evolves, SOE is committed to heading... Well, this is not her. This is from Lori Navio, who's the Senior Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing. She says, Sony is committed to leading by example and providing talented women with relevant experience in the games industry. Esther's entry exhibited both creativity and an impressive level of concept skills. And yes, I don't mean to read that all robotic-like. This is from Joe Shubak, Director of Artist Development, Sony Online Entertainment. Every year, the entries continue to impress us more, showcasing the incredible talent of student artists and designers across the country. For the 2013 Intern Scholarship, Sony Online Entertainment received applications from students at universities across the country. The girls' submission phase closed on March 29th. Scholarship America, SOE's scholarship administrator, narrowed down the submissions to a pool of semifinalists based on certain eligibility criteria. For more about this, if you are wanting to enter, you can go over to girl.soe.com, or you can follow SOE_girl, all of that needs to be uppercase, on Twitter, or you can go to Facebook, which if you're like, how do I get there? How do I get to the Facebook? Well, you go to our Facebook, of course, because I'm about to like it. Yeah, congrats to her.
Hey, that's awesome. Congrats. That's so cool.
So proud, Esther. Make us proud. Go over there and tell them to redo EverQuest proper like.
All right, so we knew it was coming. We've been hearing rumblings. And now we may have proof. This new Steam box may blow everybody out of the water. I'm not even kidding. All right, so Steam beta code suggests game sharing. That's right, folks. Finally here, maybe being able to share your games on Steam. All right, so a thread over on someplace I'm not going to name. There was some coder that poked around in the code from the new Steam beta and revealed some strange strings about game sharing on the popular digital distribution platform. The code refers to a shared game library and a shared license. While the strings have been confirmed as legitimate, Valve has not publicly commented on the data fished from the new client beta. All right, so what have we got? Steam UI, join dialogue, shared license, title, shared game library. Steam UI, join dialogue, shared license, locked owner text. Just so you know, your games are currently in use by so-and-so borrower. Playing now will send a borrower a notice that it's time to quit. Tell me that's not hot.
Okay, that is sexy.
Steam UI, join dialogue, da-da-da-da-da-da. This shared game is currently unavailable. Please try again later or buy this game for your own library.
Buy your own copy.
Uh-huh. Beep. Hosting illustrate a system where a user can let a friend borrow a game, but not to be able to use it until they give it back. It's certainly an interesting idea, though one wonders if it would have an impact on Steam game sales. Yes, I think it would. I think it would probably increase sales because I think people would share a game. The other person would be like, "Ooh, I like this," and then after having to be signed out because the person who owns it wants to play, you know, they're going to go and buy it for themselves. Steam, you're brilliant. I love you. Oh my God, have my baby.
I think they're already doing something similar, or maybe this stuff has been in beta because I've been kind of watching over at Steam where in the forums, you know, you can buy games from people and then it's your game. Like if you had something you didn't want anymore, like I have a copy of L.A. Noire I have not touched. I could, in all theory, go over and sell it. It's a digital copy. Gosh, I told Blaster yesterday, I said, you really need to get back. It's some interesting things happening I want to hear your opinion on because, you know, he's been griping to us about the money.
Blaster, get back.
Yeah, he's like, I'm coming. This has been one of the things we have argued with him about for years is that Steam games have no value until you can sell them, and now they have value because you can sell them and trade them and share them. People are offering some pretty good prices for the games. I love this idea. It's very smart. Being able to let somebody borrow your game for a short period of time, and sometimes that's really all you need to decide if you want to go get a copy. As Ginger said, usually after you've played it for a while, if it's good, you say, you know, I kind of want my own copy. And also why we were looking at Microsoft like we were crazy. You're like, really? So I can't share, I can't borrow, I can't sell it. And they're going to want this technology from Steam. Watch and see. Watch, they're going to go after them. I'm telling you they are. They're going to offer them like some absorbent amount of money to have this technology. Because if they had it on Xbox, it could really help a lot. Then people would be like, okay, now I'll go with the digital thing. If they had offered this from the get-go, said, look, we're only going digital, but you can sell, borrow, share, copy, all right here on the Xbox. Tell me you guys wouldn't have been like, oh, my God, that's sexy. Okay, I'll take an Xbox One. I don't care if it's digital. I don't need a hard copy. It's good.
Yep. Why does Amanda Bynes end up in my news feed? Stop that. I don't care about her. Goes under the knife to fix the birth defect. No, she is a birth defect. Stop it.
Ooh, Amanda Bynes. Ginger, that's a mean. That's a mean Ginger.
She has lost her damn mind.
She needs some help. Somebody needs to step in and give her some love. That girl needs some love.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give her any love?
No. I'd be afraid of what I'd get back in return and wouldn't ever be able to get rid of.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Y'all
see
how I tried to curb the Ginger? I tried.
She tries. And I'm like, I cannot be tamed. Yeah, I totally went Miley Cyrus there. Okay, so bugs versus tanks. That's right. Let me see if I can. Yes, I want to allow full screen. Why do you think I hit full screen? Anyways, renowned Japanese game company, Level 5, has now released Keiji Inform's action shooter Bugs vs. Tanks in Europe via the Nintendo eShop on the Nintendo 3DS handheld system, created by video game legend Keiji whoever. I don't care about this. Are y'all going to tell me about the game? Bugs vs. Tanks is an action shooter set during World War II, and the game players are thrust into the role of a World War II panzer squad, which has unexpectedly been shrunk to the size of a bug. In order to survive, players must master their tanks and engage in heated battles against ants, bees, moths, and more, all while clinging to the hope of finding a way to be returned to normal size. Bugs vs. Tanks features authentic World War II tanks pulled straight from the history books, which players can customize by changing the body, turrets, and paint, obliterating the swarms of bugs in their own style. Bugs vs. Tanks also offers cooperative multiplayer missions against some of the game's baddest bugs, with up to four friends joining in the fray, and the ability to call for friendly cover fire via Street Pass. Yay! And as an added bonus, in Bugs vs. Tanks, players who previously downloaded Level 5's Liberation Maiden, Arrow Porter, and Crimson Shroud can save the data from any of these three titles onto their Nintendo 3DS.
No, I don't like that fuzzy stuff on the bug's butt. Stop. It can itch.
They have fuzzy stuff on their butts.
I know they do, but you can't see it when they're small, so no.
You have fuzzy stuff on your butt.
I do not.
You have fuzzy stuff on your butt.
I do not.
Everybody has fuzzy stuff on their butt.
I don't want no fuzzy stuff on my butt. All right. We're going to get off this topic because it can take a turn for the bad here during the day. Okay, NVIDIA, the other end name company, has announced the final release date for its Android-powered portable device, June 27, 2013. The system has undergone a price drop prior to launch with a new MSRP of $299. Those who have already pre-ordered the Shield from NVIDIA at the higher price point will be charged $299. GeForce, the product line manager over at GeForce, Jason Paul, wrote a blog post, and he says, "We've heard from thousands of gamers that if the price was $299, we'd have a home run." He said, "So we're changing the price of the Shield to $299, and we want to get a Shield in the hands of as many gamers as possible. That's because we think they'll have the same reaction to it as thousands of gamers have already. Joy." The NVIDIA Shield features a 5-inch touchscreen powered by a quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 4 processor, 2 gigabytes of RAM, and 16 gigabytes of memory flash onboard. The portable can also stream games from your PC if you have a supported NVIDIA video card. And this thing is not even as powerful as Frankie right now. Really, NVIDIA? And I didn't pay $299 to build her. Come on, NVIDIA. Frankie is much more powerful than that. And we already know Dinger's got the NASA space station over there. You can sit this inside. You can... Is it because it's portable that they made it that way? Does anybody know what was the purpose behind them making their own console and it's not super powerful and it's
$299?
I don't know. You don't know. We don't know.
They were hoping to make money is all I can think.
I'm all for people making money, but you probably should have come up with something. Why is it that nobody has seen the value in making a phone, a gamer phone like PlayStation? Why did PlayStation not go back and remake the phone like the one that you have? Why did they just drop that idea?
I don't know. Because I've got my PlayStation phone, and I really hoped it was going to be awesome, and it's not. So.
But what if they had fixed it up, you know, and made it a little more powerful, and it was still a phone? Would you be excited?
The games I wanted, if it had... I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I can play Second Life and actually see some of Second Life 3D, but it's not very good. I was thinking I was going to be able to play, like, good games, badass games. And no. But if it could, oh, my God, I would love it forever.
Come on.
And my PlayStation 4 doesn't get,
ice cream sandwich, jelly beans.
Yeah, crack. All that. Any of that.
Cinnamon roll, whatever they're calling it today. Oh, yeah. Every other day we got a new name.
All of that.
I need y'all to stop naming software after foods. That does not help.
Man, I'm hungry.
See?
I'm hungry. All right. So,
wait a minute. I got another one.
Okay.
Hang on. I got to first give you the link for this so that you can share with the lovely people. And then I got to cue up the music yet again.
Ooh, that looks cool.
We got another one. Two in one day. Two in one day. I know the guys are like, oh, come on, Corey. Ah, sorry, I got to do it. Penny Arcade in this week's season finale of Penny Arcade Strip Search. Penny Arcade's creator Mike Gabe Krolik and Jerry Tycho Holligan selected California-based artist Katie Rise.
Yay!
As the grand prize winner, Katie created the new Camp We Don't Want Ya. We Don't Want Ya. Comic for the online reality show's final challenge can be viewed there. Ginger has it. It's a, if you want to look at it yourself, it's at campcomic.com. As the winning strip search artist, Katie will receive $15,000 in cash. And no, she does not want you to sit in her lap, boy.
And she gets to go work for them.
That's right. She also had got herself a space at the their Seattle office for 1 year and the support from the company's robust business and merchandising resources. As Katie described the ideas behind the Camp We Don't Want Ya comic on Strip Search, she talked about her interest in creating a kids in peril story inspired by the notion of having young characters in a survival setting. This is a camp where parents never come to pick up their kids and is dangerous but fun. The first comic Katie created for the Strip Search program, again, are now available at that website, along with the character bios and merchandise concepts that she created for the show. The comic will begin updating weekly beginning in the coming weeks, ideal for a kickoff of the summer camp season. Woo! She says reflecting on the experiences has been just incredibly positive, from the artist friends I've made to the actual prize. I'm excited for what my future in Seattle holds. Two runners-up, Mackie Naro, and another girl, Abby Howard. Woo! Also created strong contenders for the final challenge. Mackie describes his sufficiently remarkable comic as a love song for the mediocre and an ode to the magic that happens in life. And Abby's black comedy Last Halloween, monsters try to take over the world on the fabled holiday with a young child, Mona, as the only one who notices. Mackie and Abby can be followed on sci.enc.org and jspowerhour.com, respectively. Strip Search project was finally initially greenlit by Penny Arcade Kickstarter stretch goal. So that's what they were doing. Has been airing episodes each Tuesday and Friday at stripsearch.tv. Penny Arcade co-creators Mike Gabe Krolik and Jerry Tycho Hollins have been presiding over the competition, serving as judges in a head-to-head eliminating challenges. The 12 participating artists are culled from a rigorous selection process of 1,000 entrants worldwide. The artists all live together in a lakefront mansion in Seattle, Washington. Hot! Where Penny Arcade is based. Can I learn how to draw now? All episodes are available for viewing at stripsearch.tv. The website also includes background information on each of the artists, as well as samples of their work created over the course of the season. And get this, DVD and Blu-ray set pre-orders for the first season of Strip Search begin next week, featuring commentary from the crew and never-before-seen footage from each episode. Those two are absolute geniuses. And if you go to our Facebook page, you can find a very, 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 very vintage interview with the Gamer Girls Radio and Gabe and Tycho from a long time ago. Very nice guys, kind of shy. You would think they're really, really outgoing, kind of shy. Or they were then. Very sweet, though. Very respectful, nice. And congratulations to Katie. And not to overlook you, Mackie, but we're all about the girls here. Congratulations to you, Abby! Oh, that's our show. We gotta go.
That is. We're done. All right, guys. So today's Friday?
It's Thursday.
No, today's Thursday.
So we'll be back.
Today's Thursday. All right.
With happy Snow White, and I will tell you why off air, Ginger.
Yay! Awesome. All right. So we'll be back later. Tune in. We'll have the news from you then. From you for you then. And we'll be back tomorrow morning too. So yay! As long as Corey's roof doesn't,
cave in. I'm not in there. It can cave in if it wants to. I'll just close the door and keep it moving. All right. We see you guys.